You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I taught a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, you might remember, on healing scriptures, and mainly Old Testament. We didn't really get into the New Testament. I think I quoted a few, but we didn't really turn to them and put the whites of our eyes on them. So tonight I would like to spend some time in the New Testament. You might call this New Testament healing scriptures, some that you could base your faith on concerning healing. God's will is that you be healed, and we know that better than we think we do. That's why we have so many hospitals and doctors and medicine and surgeries and all the things that they do. And we pursue that with a passion, spend all of our money and spend lots of time and a lot of effort to help people in that area and to get ourselves strong, get ourselves healed. Because healing's good. Healing's not bad. It's a good thing. And God's not making us sick. He's not teaching us something with sickness and disease. There was never a greater teacher than Jesus. You never find anyone that ever would come and even hold a candle to Jesus. I mean, he wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't just a holy man. He was the Son of God, and God himself, God in the flesh. And he even said, "He that's seen me has seen the Father," in the sense that you've seen him in his actions, in his words. Whatever Jesus does, that's what the Father does. And he said, "I only do the things I see that my Father do." In fact, he said that in John 8th chapter. So when you follow him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he, you know, he heals the sick, raises the dead, casts out devils, and preaches and teaches in the synagogues and the villages and the shores, walk with him on the shores of the Galilee and the streets of Capernaum, and you'll see him doing good. In fact, Acts 10:38 says, we see how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So there's insight there that, you know, sickness is an oppression. It's not something good. It's not a good. It's an evil. It's not a good thing. And anybody that's ever been sick knows that. I don't have to tell you that. That's not good. In fact, all of our terminology concerning sickness has to do with things like not doing well, not okay. I'm kind of down today. Are you with me? I'm not hitting on all eight cylinders. You know, I'm not firing on all six cylinders or whatever the case may be. And when you get on top of it and you're healed and feeling good, you're doing okay, you're doing well, doing better. Are you with me? And we know that. And we praise doctors and nurses and, you know, scientific discoveries, medical discoveries that help people and eradicate diseases. And the world's against sickness and disease. I'm against it. You're against it. And you know what? God's against it too. This idea that God is teaching us through sickness and disease is not a Jesus doctrine. It's not something that Jesus did. Back to the point I was making, Jesus being the greatest teacher ever lived, why did he never make anybody sick? We got four Gospels. We have four accounts of Jesus' ministry. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He never made one person sick. The closest he ever did to that was giving the Pharisees a headache. Are you with me? But he healed the sick. And everyone he healed, according to Acts 10:38, obviously, was oppressed of the devil. So where does sickness come from? Well, it came from sin. Doesn't mean you sin when you're sick. It doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. We live in a broken, fallen world. Ever since Adam sinned, according to the Scripture, there's an old story, but it's in the third chapter, where it talks about the fall of Adam. When Adam fell, sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, death entered the world. Paul talked a lot about it in his writings. You know, Romans the 5th chapter, he talks about sin entering the world and death by sin. Death was a result, and sickness is a result of sin. So all, now listen to this closely. Don't twist what I'm saying or misquote. All sickness comes from sin. Not necessarily yours, because, I mean, you got babies that are born sick. Sometimes you get diseases you had nothing to do with. The idea that God put that on you to teach you something. You know, I know people that are just chronically sick. They have all kinds of things wrong with them. I'm not under the delusion that they have so much wrong with their character that God's got to keep hammering at them to get them straightened out. That actually is a little arrogant, because that means if you're not sick, you must have it all together. Are you out there? And it almost gets to be we're blaming people when they get sick. Oh, they must have something bad in their life, some secret sin in their life. Oh, come on. It's because of sin, but it's not because of your sin. Now, it can be. There are certain diseases that are directly connected to sins, basically sexual diseases and so on. So, you know, and hey, come on, you could just damage your body with alcohol and have cirrhosis of the liver and just smoke all your life, and you can get lung cancer. I know there are some things that you could attribute to something you did, but there's a lot of sickness and disease and problems that take place that you didn't do anything to get. Are you with me? And you know, no, I don't know anybody ever believed for sickness. I don't, other than, you know, hypochondriacs, I guess, you know. They're kind of disappointed when they go to the doctor and they don't have anything major and fatal. They come home depressed because they were hoping they had cancer or something, you know. And I mean, really, some people, they want something bad so you can pity them, you know. But that's rare cases. But nobody really believes for sickness. No one really believes for a bad day, as it were, or something wrong to go with them or to get some disease or something. And yet, the Scripture is very plain that what God gives, you pray for, you believe for. Jesus tells us many cases about prayer. He said, asking you shall receive, seek you shall find, knock will be open to you, the door will be open unto you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth, everyone that seeketh, findeth, and everyone that knocks, the door will be open unto him. And he says, you know, I'm just treading water here. Y'all getting this? You know, Mark 11:24, Jesus said, therefore, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. Matthew 21:22 says, all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And then I quoted Mark 7:7, asking you shall receive. So when you go through what God gives out, it comes from praying and asking. Isn't that right? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Comes from believing, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I think it's pretty plain that if you call on God, he'll answer you, show you great and mighty things that you know not. Jeremiah tells us that. But people aren't just asking for sickness, it just comes, doesn't it? So that's an indicator it must not be from the Lord, because you have to ask for things from the Lord. You have to seek him, supernatural things, deliverances and healings and so on and so forth. And we got countless, you know, testimonies of people being healed by calling on Jesus, reaching out to Jesus, touching his garment and so on and so forth. And then admonitions for us as a church to pray for each other to be healed, and talking about the work of the cross, what Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. By his stripes we are healed. Healing in communion, the bread that was broken for you that you might be healed, and so on and so forth. So God's a healer. Amen. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 23:25 says that if you serve him, he'll bless your bread and water and take all sickness away from the midst of you. Deuteronomy 7:15 says the same thing, that he'll take sickness away from the midst of you. We know all through the scripture that Psalms 103:3, that the Lord not only forgives our iniquities, but heals all our diseases. The psalmist in 30th chapter of Psalms, 2nd verse says, I cried unto the Lord and he healed me. Ooh, I love that. Isn't that good? Proverbs 3:8 says about honoring God with all of our substance. It says that if we'll trust the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to own our standing, acknowledge him in all of our ways, he'll direct our paths. Be not wise in our own eyes, but seek the Lord. And he says, honor the Lord with all your substance and the first fruits of your increase. It says, so shall it be life to you and health to your flesh. Healing comes from serving the Lord. Amen. Proverbs 4:20 tells us that if we attend to his words, incline our ear to his sayings, and keep them in the midst of our heart. Are you with me? He goes on and says, for they are life to those that find them, God's word, and health to all their flesh. All through the scripture we have promises of healing. God's a healer. He is the Lord that healeth thee, not the Lord that maketh thee sick. And we pray for people that go, you know, and have surgery and go to the hospital. We're always praying that they be healed. We're on the same side with doctors and medicine and just common sense, which I find the longer I live, common sense really isn't all that common. Hello. But common sense will tell us that healing's good and sickness is bad, and we know God's good. So God's a healer. We need to pray. We need to seek his face. Amen. We need to call on him. Hallelujah. And let that healing come. Well, in the New Testament, I've already used up about 10 minutes of my time, but I've been quoting Scripture, so it's okay. You know, that's how I get away with that. If I'm quoting Scripture, I'm all right. So, but if you're writing something down and you got notes and you're taking notes, Matthew the 8th chapter. Let's just turn there and just see what jumps at us here. Matthew chapter 8. I'm not going to go over the instances of healing. That in alone is a teaching in and of itself. When you go through the centurion servant being healed, that was in Matthew 8 where that took place. The leper was healed there. Multitudes were healed in Matthew. And then you got the blind men in Matthew 9. And, of course, you got the woman with the issue of blood, Mark, the 5th chapter. And Jairus' daughter raised from the dead, Mark, the 2nd chapter. That man let down through the roof that was healed, who was sick of the palsy. Remember, he was born of 4, and they took the roof off and let him down, and Jesus healed him. You got a lot of instances, individual healings that Jesus did, and that's a good teaching, and I've actually taught on that before. But I just want to talk about scriptures to stand on concerning healing when you think about Jesus and his ministry. And here in the 8th chapter, after Jesus had healed several people, in fact, multitudes even had come to him, notice what it says in the 16th verse. It says, when evening had come, you know, it had gotten dark and evening had come, kind of like this time of night. When evening had come, they brought to him, man, it's just packed with information. People came to Jesus with a purpose, with an intent, and they brought people with them. You know, people don't come by just because of fancy buildings and, you know, lights, camera, action. If we just spiff it up a little bit and make it a little more cutting edge, people show up. No, people bring people. It's like a good restaurant. I mean, you can have the best paint job in the world, but the food's no good, they're going to quit coming. But if the food's good, they'll bring somebody back. Isn't that right? I mean, some hole in the wall and the parking lot's full and you think, man, they must have good food. Why? Because of the way it looks? No, because of the people there. People are coming because somebody told somebody and told somebody, you got to come eat this. Man, this is the best catfish I ever had or whatever, you know. Tell I'm from East Texas. And so Jesus had a reputation, obviously, of healing people because they brought people to him to be healed. And here's what it says. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon possessed, mental problems and, you know, a lot of people in mental institution probably are demon possessed. I'm not saying that's the case in every case. A lot of times it's chemical. A lot of times there's all kinds of reasons. But there are people that are oppressed and possessed. So on. We're not looking for the devil to jump out here with, you know, a 3-pronged fork and a red hat and a tail. I mean, I don't believe in that. But I do believe in the devil. I believe in demons. They're real. Good news is you've got power over them. Contrary to Hollywood, who the priest always gets beat up by the devil in Hollywood, but that's not in real life. In real life, you pray in Jesus' name, devil's got to go. So they brought them to Jesus to get delivered. Now, you just don't see people coming to Jesus to get sick. Wouldn't that be? That makes sense, does it? Lord, I got my cousin right here, and there's not a thing in the world wrong with him. Could you do something for him? Maybe make them cripple or blind them or something, you know what? No, you don't see that. I mean, you see people bringing people that are blind, people that are crippled, people that are sick. And what did Jesus do? He said, look, nothing I can do about that. God made them that way. Just leave them alone. No, Jesus healed them. That's why we take people to doctors with ailments, that if there's any kind of cure at all, we're going to try to get some help, because getting help and getting right and getting it fixed, it's good. That's a good thing. Anybody would do that for their children and for their mom and their papa, you know. They fix it. I love that, because that's what happens when someone's healed. Something that's not right is fixed. Healing is not weird. It's not unusual. You know, when Jesus healed a blind man, their eyes begin to see, which is what eyes are supposed to do. Isn't that right? I mean, we tend to miss the miracle of sight because we see all day long. We're familiar with it. We miss the miracle of walking on legs. We miss the miracle of, breathing normally and all those kinds of things. But when we lose that, all of a sudden, we're looking for some help. We can't breathe. We're wanting, you know, some more oxygen or something, and we can't see. We're wanting to wear glasses or whatever the case may be. We want to fix that. All of a sudden, it's a precious thing. When Jesus healed people, he fixed something that wasn't right. Because that wasn't God's will. The eyes were not made to be blind and legs weren't made to be crippled. And I guarantee you, when you get to heaven, you won't be crippled. You won't be blind. you won't have arthritis. Hello. Because in heaven, see, everything is perfect. No opposition up there. There's no devil in heaven. Hallelujah, somebody. So when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all that were sick. Wow. Isn't that good? I love that. Everybody say all. All that were sick. So he didn't turn them down. He didn't send some away. But he prayed for all of them, and he healed all that were sick. That it might, this is fascinating, 2:17 verse, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, when was that fulfilled? That was fulfilled in him healing us of our diseases. Now, you know, I get tickled that some people say, well, I don't believe he heals anymore, but, you know, I believe he took our sin on the cross. Well, he didn't just take our sin. He also took our sicknesses. You say, well, why didn't everybody just walk around healed? Well, why didn't everybody walk around forgiven? You have to ask for it. And if you know, you don't always feel like it when you ask for it, but you still believe it and stand on it, and in time it begins to come, just like you don't always feel like you healed sometimes when you ask for it, but you stand on it, and in time the feeling comes. Does everybody feel forgiven of everything they've ever done? When you think about certain things, that symptom comes back, doesn't it? But you stand on God's word, and you say, I'm forgiven because God forgave me, and I asked for it, and he forgave me, and sometimes you have to fight sometimes for healing too. Same thing. The symptom of pain and disease or whatever is still there. But he took our sins and he took our sicknesses on the cross. You know, I love when people say, well, if Jesus heals, why don't you go down to the hospital and just clean out the hospitals? Well, let me ask you another question. If Jesus forgives sins, why don't we go down to the jail and forgive all the sins? People have to receive forgiveness, don't they? They have to receive it, and they have to hear something about it, and they have to accept it. And healing is no different. You couldn't clean the hospital out with healing. No more than you clean the jailhouse out with forgiveness. But I do know this. If you go down and pray for a bunch of them, you'll see some healed. And if you go down to the jailhouse, you'll see some get saved. Because God's a Savior, and he forgives sins. And he's also a healer, and he heals diseases. Doesn't mean we're going to receive it. Doesn't mean we all reach out for it. Doesn't mean we all believe. But it's sure there if we get serious enough, if we get passionate enough, if we're willing to take a roof off, if we're willing to come through the crowd like that woman with the issue of blood and press through the crowd and grab a hold of that garment, we'll get our healing. We'll cry it like the man in the ditch that cried out, says, Lord, have mercy on me. And the disciples told him to be quiet, and he cried out even louder. If we're that passionate, he got his eyesight too. Old blind Bartimaeus, we call him that, but he's not blind anymore. He was healed. Amen. So it's there. He is a healer. This was prophesied that he'd do this. Jesus didn't come unannounced. He didn't come without anything pre-announced about him. We had all kinds of scriptures that were and all kinds of prophets prophesied before Jesus arrived. And when he arrived in fulfillment of the word. In fact, he is the word made flesh. John 1:14 tells us that all those prophecies were consummated in him, and we heard words and we read words, and all of a sudden we saw. When we saw Jesus, he was the Word made flesh, dwelling among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. And the truth of the matter was, God's a good God. He's not a bad God, and he's not a mad God. He doesn't hate you, and he's not mad at you. He's not against you, he's for you. He proved that. Jesus proved that. Took in the lost, the ones that repented. Now, I'm not saying if you go and live in sin, you know, you're going to suffer consequences. But if you'll turn around, God's arms are open. Amen. And he is a healer. Woo! He bore our sicknesses. See, that's Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 is what he's quoting there. Surely chastisement of peace, our peace was upon him. For he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows or sicknesses, and by his stripes we are healed. That's what he's quoting here. Isaiah prophesied that. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 tells us that. I love that. In fact, that same word in there, we bore our sicknesses, That's the same word translated in Deuteronomy 7:15. We took away our sickness. Same word in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. And here, this word where it says he bore our sicknesses is the same word in, well, you're in Matthew, if you're writing notes, Matthew 4:23, where it talks about Jesus' ministry. Everybody say Jesus' ministry. You know, we often think of Jesus going around just forgiving and teaching. But actually, the Bible tells us that he healed lots of people. That was a vital part of his ministry. He wasn't just a pulpit minister. He wasn't just an evangelist. He healed the sick. In fact, when he sent his disciples out, he gave them the power to heal diseases too. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, tell them the kingdom of God's come near. Sent them out in Luke 9. Sent 70 of them out in Luke 10. Did the same thing with them. Gave them the power to heal diseases. But in Matthew 4:23, the Bible tells us that Jesus went about their villages preaching in their villages, teaching in their synagogue, and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. Wow. Can you say amen to somebody? So Jesus was a teacher, a preacher, and a healer. It wouldn't be fair to take one of those out and just say he was just a teacher. Wouldn't be fair to say he was just a preacher. Wouldn't be fair to say he's just a teacher and preacher. You'd have to say he's a teacher, preacher, and a healer. Because it says he taught in their synagogues, he preached in their villages, and he healed all manner of sickness and disease among the people. That word sickness, same word here, where it says he bore our sicknesses. Same word in the Greek, it's not a different word. And it's in the same book. I mean, this is Matthew 8:17 we're looking at, but Matthew 4:23 says the same thing. If you write notes, Matthew 9:35 says the same thing. In fact, it's almost a repeat of 4:23. The wording's slightly different, but it says basically he preached in their villages, he taught in their synagogue, and he healed all the sick, all manner of sickness and disease among the people. So to get a clear picture of Jesus, I don't know that he'd fit in every church. Thank God for churches. We're pro-church. I'm not against churches. And we're not in competition with churches. I do know sometimes when I read about Jesus, I think sometimes it might be a little uncomfortable in some services. Some of the things he did. He loved us, but love's not wimpy. Love's firm, you know. He didn't pat people on the back. People didn't come to him sick, and he didn't say things like, you poor thing. And, you know, and I'm sympathetic, and I know we are, and we should mourn with those that mourn, weep with those that weep, and rejoice with those that rejoice. But I'm amazed at sometimes how hard Jesus seemed to be, but he was hard against sickness. He was hard against the devil. Hello. He didn't really pat him on the back. You don't find that. You don't see Jesus just, man, you poor thing, that's pretty bad. Goodness. Well, I hate that. No, he'd lay hands on him, or he'd rebuke the devil. You know, and he didn't have a lot of tolerance for just religious people that were not serious about anything they were doing. They were doing it for show. They were doing it for position. They were doing it for power. They were doing it for praise of men. He didn't have a lot of patience with them. He'd say kind things to the Pharisees like, you generation of vipers, you snakes. It's in the Bible he said that. But he loved people. You know, it's amazing how the harlots and the sinners and the publicans and the drunks would come to him and repent and turn their lives around. And they wouldn't be prostitutes anymore, and they wouldn't be drunk anymore. Are you with me? He changed their lives. Because he came for those that were sick. He's the great physician. He didn't come for those that are whole. He came for those that were sick. They that are whole, not a physician, but they that are sick. When they accused him of spending time with those kind of people, he was trying to reach those people. Because they knew they had problems. You know, they weren't so arrogant and thought they had it all figured out. They knew they were messed up and they needed help. And Jesus came to help those that know they need help. Amen. I think of doctors. You know, doctors can't help everybody. In fact, generally they don't help anybody unless they come to them. Listen, those family doctor days are over, okay? You got to make an appointment and you got to go down there, right? So you can complain all day long about all these doctors around here. Nobody's ever helped you. Well, have you ever called one? You ever made an appointment? You ever gone there? You got to go. Even Brookshire's put a sale on. They don't come to your house. You got to show up. They'll advertise, but you got to go down there. You can look at those coupons all day long, but if you don't take and claim and redeem those coupons in hand and take them down, slap them on the counter and say, "It is written," then they're of no use if you don't do anything, you know, with them. And so, you know, Jesus is a healer, but we got to pursue this. We got to call. We got to ask. We got to believe. Amen. But if we will, and these people came, and he doesn't love them more than he loves us, if we'll come and come in faith, expecting, see, that's key. That's key. In fact, I'm thinking I've used up already most of my time. But anyway, I'm thinking Luke 6 chapter 16th verse tells us this. This is a fascinating scripture. When you think about coming with the right intent. Luke 6. You know, I'm just shooting from the hip tonight. I don't have any notes here. Luke 6:17 is where it is. It says, he came down with them, the disciples, okay, and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Y'all catch that? Now, I think most of the time we come to hear him, but we don't always come to be healed of our diseases. So there's got to be an intent. There's got to be an expectancy, as it were. Those people that brought the sick and those possessed came for the intent and purpose of getting deliverance for the possessed and healing for the sick. Those four men that bore that man sick of the palsy, took that roof off and let him down through that roof, they were trying to get him down to Jesus. Can you imagine? That's a front row seat. Now, that's pretty good. They went past the bouncer and everybody. I mean, they just went. And the Bible says the house was full. It says there was no room to receive, not even at the door, is what it says. And when the four saw that, thank God for friends like that, amen, they climbed the roof. They said, "We're not going home. We're going to get to Jesus." Most of us looked at that crowd and say, "Is he going to be here tomorrow night?" You know, that's just too crowded. Oh, no, they weren't going to quit. They weren't going to give up. See, they were determined. And so here we see that kind of expectancy. Even here it says they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. They came to Jesus to get a healing. I think we miss that. So I know I do. I mean, sometimes I deal with sickness and coming to Jesus and praying and worshiping and not really coming to be healed, and yet I know he's a healer. And then I think, man, I need to believe for healing, you know. And yet it's a benefit. It's there. It's just I'm not taking advantage of it. Right. I quoted Psalms 103, verse 3. You know, Psalms 103, verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Second verse says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Third verse, "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." And then it just goes on, "Redeems thy life from destruction, crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, renews thy youth like the eagles." It goes on and on. All these benefits that we forget if we're not careful. With that admonition, too, that's what's so powerful and significant, is not only are they benefits, but he is emphatic about us not forgetting them, because the tendency is we do tend to forget what God has available. We've forgotten in churches, we've forgotten as Christians sometimes what God has made available, what Jesus bore stripes on his back for, what he bore, what he carried. Well, if he carried them, what are we doing carrying them? If he paid for them, what are we trying to pay for them for? Woo! I mean, that ticket's already been bought. That's already been paid for. And yet we're trying to pay for it again. Yet he's already paid for it, see? Well, here they came to hear and to be healed. Ooh, hallelujah. Do we, you know, "Lord Jesus, I come to hear and to be healed." And we ought to say that about ourselves. "Lord, I come to you to hear what you have to say to me and to be healed." and to be healed. I do want to hear what he has to say. I do need to sit at his feet. I need to enter the throne room and sit down and hear from heaven and follow his instruction, his words. But see, when I follow his instruction, hear what he has to say, I'm going to hear about healing. Because healing is in his word. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. And we just quoted Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. It says, attend to my words, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. God's word is health, hallelujah, and healing. Love it. Isn't that good? Okay, so notice it says, they came to hear and to be healed. And the 19th verse says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. All, everybody, well, everybody touched him. I bet there's a lot of people in town didn't get healed because everybody didn't show up. Are you with me? I mean, you get Acts, the third chapter, there's Peter and John going to the temple at the hour of prayer at the gate, beautiful, and there's a lame man sitting at the gate, been there for 38 years, been sitting there all of his life. Well, you know, Jesus went through that gate, and he never got healed. He evidently never cried out when Jesus came through, but he did when Peter and John came through. And he asked for alms, and John looked steadfastly upon him, Peter and John looked steadfastly upon him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. And Nazareth, rise and walk, took him by his right hand, jerked him up, and he leaped up and walked and shouted and praised God. Asked for alms and got legs. Yeah, okay. Well, anyways, learn all kinds of stuff come to church, won't you, Kay? Anyway, so here, you know, this is something we can stand on. Jesus, you bore my sicknesses. Jesus, you healed them. You can heal me. I come to hear you and to be healed by you. Those are good scriptures to stand on. Because Jesus is no respecter of persons. You say, well, I don't believe he does that anymore. Well, what do you think he does do? Does he still teach you today? I guess he does. Does he still forgive your sins today? I'd say he does. So where do we get X and out parts of what Jesus does? Jesus isn't less than who he was. He's still who he always was. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, the Bible tells us. And Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord God, I change not. So whatever he was, he is, and whatever he did, he does. Amen? I'll tell you who's changed. We have. He hadn't changed. That intensity, that fire necessarily isn't always necessarily there. Sometimes that we got to rekindle that fire. We got to passionately pursue. And we kind of let slide some of these things, benefits that God has made available for us. And obviously, if you don't preach on it and you don't read it and study it, look at scriptures, it's not going to happen for you. I mean, there's nothing that ever happens in your life that you don't look at and meditate on and talk about. If you don't talk it up, it's not going to happen. Are you out there? I mean, if you want a manifestation of anything in church, you need to preach on it. How can they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the good news. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, it goes on and says this in the 17th verse, that 10th chapter of Romans I'm quoting there. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're deficient in an area, whether it's you're dealing with some sickness or dealing with some, your mind, just your memory or whatever, get scriptures on a sound mind. Get scriptures on peace if you're dealing with depression. Find the promises of God concerning that need, and you know what? Preach to yourself. Get those promises and stand on them. And faith will come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They came to hear and to be healed. I love it. Man, that's just good stuff. 1 Peter, turn there real quick. Give me, you got 5 minutes? Can I have 5 minutes? Who give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. No, 5. I'll give you, that's 5. I'll do this in 5 minutes in Jesus' name. 1 Peter, here's a good New Testament scripture. First, you know where I'm going, 1 Peter 2:24. It's amazing. You know, we just read Matthew 8:17, and it was talking about Isaiah 53:4 and 5. Well, here's 1 Peter 2:24. the very same thing. But I like the way it changed the tense here. In 1 Peter 2:24, very familiar scripture, talking about Jesus, it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now he's quoting Isaiah 53, 4, and 5, where it says, by his stripes you are healed. Well, Peter says, by his stripes you were healed. Isaiah is looking forward to the Messiah coming and saying, by his stripes you are healed. Peter's looking back to the fact that Jesus already came, by his stripes we were healed. And so as surely as we know he bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross, that we being dead to sin should live to righteousness, we ought to also know that by his stripes we were healed. And we see that in communion. I mean, in communion, there's two elements here. There's bread and the wine, grape juice in our church. But the grape juice, the wine, represents the covenant forgiveness, sins being forgiven. The bread represents the body that was broken, that by those stripes we were healed. One's physical healing, one's spiritual redemption. One takes care of our sins, one takes care of our sicknesses. Well, if Jesus bore all of our sins, how come we still sin? Hello? He did bear all our sins, didn't he? Doesn't mean we don't sin. We have to confess our sin and repent when we do wrong. Just like he bore our sicknesses, it doesn't mean we don't get sick, but when we do, we run and we get healed. Why? If he bore all of our sickness, we should never get sick. Well, then if you bore our sins, you should never sin. Oh, come on now, are you with me? I said in the beginning of this that just common sense, which is not really all that common anymore. But if he bore our sins, that means he bore our sins. And I run to him when I do sin. Amen? He bore our sicknesses. That doesn't mean I never get sick. That means if I do, I run to him and get healed. Woo! Oh, my goodness, that's good preaching. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, glory. James 5, I got about 2 minutes here. I didn't even go, I had about 10 or 15 scriptures that I wanted to get to, but I've quoted about 30 of them, surely. Oh, you got them listed? James 5, you know, you stay in real, you don't, if you'll quote a lot of scriptures and let scripture interpret scripture, you're on pretty solid ground, you know, you're not trying to preach a specific individual doctrine of your church. And thank God for churches, but we are Jesus people. I don't care if we're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, International Outreach Church. And the bottom line is, when you walk out of here, you don't need to know International Outreach Church doctrine. You need to know the Word. You need to know the Bible. And you don't need to be a mimic or a puppet or a parrot of their pastor. You should parrot the Word, and the pastor should preach the Word. That's why I quote so many scriptures and refer to me so many scriptures, because you're on safe ground there. And if you interpret Scripture with Scripture, boy, I mean, that's a good way to do it. You know, to refer back the Old Testament, what these New Testament writers were quoting, and put that in context with Jesus' life, because we are forever, eternally Jesus' people. Jesus saved us, amen. James 5, real quickly, 14th verse, you know it, says, any sick among you? Well, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, don't you know that in every church we pray for people to be forgiven? Sure, everybody does that. Every church that names the name of Christ. Now, not necessarily in every church they pray for healing, or if they do, they don't really know that it's going to happen or really believe it's going to happen. And we love them, and I'm not being critical of churches, I'm just talking about the doctrine. Are you with me? But if we're going to believe that God forgives us when we sin and we call on him to be forgiven, we need to believe that he heals us when we pray, even though we may not feel any different. It's coming. It's manifested. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm forgiven. and those symptoms will fall away in time, because the Lord does raise us up. And if we committed sins, we will be forgiven too. See, that was the second thing. Not, he said, if they're sick, pray for them. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if he's committed his sins, they will be forgiven him also. So there's healing and forgiveness. And then this awesome verse, 16th verse. It says, confess your faults one to another. I love that. We should be open about our faults in the sense of getting people to pray for us. Help me with this, help me with that. Should have some close friends. Obviously, you don't need a lot of close friends. You need a lot of friends. You can only have a few that are real close, because you really couldn't stand that kind of abuse. Real close friends can correct you and talk to you, and you need that. Amen? They're people you really trust with your lives, because you know they love you, and they can speak into your lives, and you can do the same thing. But you should confess your faults one to another. And then it says, pray one for another that you may be healed. Woo! That should be something we do. Just pray for one another that we may be healed. Man, those are good. That's a good healing scriptures, aren't they? New Testament. New Testament, New Covenant scriptures on healing. And there's a lot more, for sake of time, just not able to get into it.